Good morning, 11:30 service. How are you today? Yeah, come on, I like this crowd. Always alive. I've already had your share of lattes and espressos and monster drinks. I love it. So, hey, won't you turn with me in your Bible to Daniel chapter 1, and we'll get there in a moment, but I want to once again let you know what's taking place next week. We have a special guest speaker that's coming in, Ken and Tabitha Clater. They pastor a church in Gainesville, Florida that they planted several years ago. His church is exploding. I heard Pastor Ken and Tabitha speak several months ago at a conference, and I really connected with their heart. We had some time to spend together after, and I asked him, you've got to come. So next week, you don't want to miss it. Pastor Ken will be teaching the 8:30 service here. He'll do 10 o'clock in Springdale, and his wife will do the 10 o'clock service here, and then he'll do the 11:30 service to finish off the day. Invite someone. Please be here. You don't want to miss it. And also, team night. We're having another team night this Thursday night. Yes, I'm excited about it. We're inviting everyone that serves on a service team here at Key Point Church, from the parking lot all the way to our children's ministry in the nursery. We want to honor you. We're going to celebrate together what God's doing. We're going to have dinner together, and we're going to worship together, and we're going to hear God's word together. It's at 6 p.m. right here at the Beeville campus. Bring a guest if you want to get on any service teams. I know a lot of people have been asking about that lately. This would be a great night for you to come and hear more about what you can do and how you can be involved. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your word today. I give my ear to you, and let me hear what I need to hear today, God. Holy Spirit, speak specifically to me, and I thank you. Today, I'm going to leave changed. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody said amen. Amen. Several years ago, a young football star grew up in Louisiana, and his senior year, he won the Gatorade National Football Player of the Year out of all the United States, and he was the number one rated quarterback. And they said that he was probably one of the best quarterbacks that have ever come out of Louisiana ever since I did, 1988. All right? That's funny right there, all right? Because I didn't play football at all. But anyway, he came to LSU his freshman year with a lot of fanfare, a lot of excitement, a lot of expectations. And the moment he got to LSU, mind you, he had an amazing career in high school. But the moment he got to LSU, he began bumping into trouble. He started having trouble with some of his teammates. Rumors had it that he was just a real tough person to get along with in the locker room. Next thing you know, there's reports of him bumping heads with some of his coaches. And the next thing you know, you're watching the evening news and he's being arrested for disorderly conduct and doing different things out in public and stuff. And it didn't take long for him to be dismissed from the football team. He was going to bring another championship trophy to LSU. Amen. Come on, somebody. I felt that one. But he didn't. And I sat there and watched his life crumble from a distance, and I thought, man, what happened here? Did his talents go over from high school to college? Was it because of his abilities? And the answer is no, because the moment he got on campus at LSU, he was the best quarterback, hands down, than everyone that was there. Well, what was it? I mean, his abilities and his talents got him there, but what didn't keep him there was his character. And that's what I want to talk about today as we end this message series, Living Your Best Life. We talked about in the first week, to do that, you need to know purpose. If you want to live your best life, you better know your purpose. Then last week, we talked about identity. And here's the bottom line. You can know your purpose, you can know your God-given identity, but if you don't develop character, you will eventually be dismissed just like this star football player, because everyone will experience success to some degree. But if you don't have character, you will eventually topple. You will eventually concave to the pressure. That's why I want to talk to you about character. Here's the title of today's message, No Character. Come on, everybody say character. All right, now this is not going to be a fun, message that you're gonna just instantly tweet out and tell everybody about it, but it's gonna be a message that you'll not forget. And if you'll take these principles and apply them to your life, then you will begin to see some of the best days of your life ever, okay? It's all about character. And here's what character is. It's the infrastructure. It's the infrastructure that determines how much weight or how much pressure a person can sustain. And I'm gonna give you two pieces to a powerful infrastructure today. There's probably more, but for our message or our study today, it's gonna be two, and that's self-discipline and integrity, and we'll get there in a moment. But I have found that people with weak character tend to blame or place the blame on their circumstances. It's all because of the lack of finances. It's all because of my upbringing. It's all because of that person didn't give me the advancement. It's all because of that group over there. They did this to me, and they just constantly are passing the blame. And yes, your circumstances are beyond, in some cases, out of your control, but what is in your control is your character, okay? Your character is your choice. The current character that you have right now, the infrastructure in your life right now, was a choice that you made yesterday. It was the choice you made yesterday. And developing character is your personal responsibility. I'm gonna say it again. Developing character is your personal responsibility. And there's a reason not everyone has it. There's a reason we see on the news someone that's very, very talented, has more abilities than most people. They rise to success only to find themselves sputtering years later. Because talents and abilities are given to you by God, but character takes on something new because it's us. It's my responsibility. There's a part we have to play in it as well. And there is a high price. Not everybody wants to pay the high price that it takes to develop character. Now Daniel, here was a young man who knew it was his responsibility, and he didn't play the circumstance card, because if anyone could play the circumstance card, it was Daniel. He didn't do that at all. He knew it was his responsibility. Now, let me give you the backstory before we get into Daniel chapter 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, he goes in, he's the king of Babylon, he goes into Jerusalem, and he attacks Jerusalem, and while he's attacking Jerusalem and totally destroying the city, he takes for himself some young Jewish teenagers, and he takes them back to Babylon. Now, his goal was to immerse them in the Babylonian culture so that one day these bright young men could be his proteges and help him advance the Babylonian kingdom. Now, let me help you understand. The Babylonian kingdom and the culture was the exact opposite culture of Jerusalem. Their culture was totally different. Their religion was totally different. And they did not serve God. They served pagan gods. They worshiped pagan gods. And there was a lot of pressure on Daniel. They were in direct defiance towards Daniel's God. And not only that, they tell us that there was widespread sexual immorality all throughout the Babylonian nation. So Daniel is immersed in this, and he's feeling pressure to live opposite of his beliefs. He's feeling this huge pressure to conform to what culture says is right instead of what he believes God says what is right. Lots of pressure to do what they say is right and to live this certain way rather than living according to God's word. And it takes character to live right in a culture that doesn't promote integrity and doesn't promote God's word. It takes character not to fudge on your taxes when no one else will know. It takes character not to steal from your employee. It's just a little bit. It won't hurt them. They make so much anyway. It takes character not to get mad at the little girl who doesn't give you bread whenever she brings you your food to the car. I ordered some food from my favorite restaurant. I pulled in there and I picked it up. And I asked her like 17 times, "Did you put the bread in there?" "Yes, sir, we did." "Did you put the bread in there?" Because this place is known for their bread. Now, I don't eat bread because I'm on a keto diet, you know, but at least I can watch my boys eat the bread, you know, and be jealous as they dip it through that sauce. Oh, gosh. Did you get the bread? Oh, got the bread. As she goes back to get it, you got the bread? Oh, we got the bread. She gives it to the bag. You got the bread? Oh, we got the bread. Get home, guess what she forgot? The bread. I was so mad at her. I was so, she forgot the bread. I was angry. It takes character not to get mad at those little girl, you know? It takes character. And I was not displaying major character that day, all right? It takes character not to gossip about other moms in your mom group. It takes character to do the right thing. And all Daniel had was his character. And it was going to be put to a test. Now, character is a constant. Character development is a constant. We don't get to a place where we arrive and say, oh, I got all the character I need. I think we develop character as we move and life changes and we get older and things change. Character for certain times of our life. It's an ongoing process. But here's something interesting about character, because it takes character to weather adversity while it takes adversity to develop character. What an interesting paradox there, right? All right, so every time you face adversity, you face situations that are out of your control, your character is being exposed. But when you come through it, your character grows. Now, it took me 2 days to figure out how to make that rhyme, all right? That's good right there, all right? Tweet that out today, all right? PC said something that rhymed today. It was good. But that's our desire. I mean, I pray against adversity, but at the same time, I embrace it because I know when I face adversity, it helps me more than I could ever imagine because I grow this thing called character, and it's the infrastructure that will help me sustain the pressures of life. Test after test, Daniel became known as a trustworthy man. The king could leave all his resources into his care because he knew that Daniel was a man of character. And scripture points to two particular times that built his character. One seemed small and insignificant, while the other was life or death. But they both built character. And it's important because even the smallest things matter. In fact, I believe it's the small things that prepare you for the big things. Let's read the story. Daniel chapter 1. So here's Daniel and all his boys. They're slaves. They're in a foreign land. They're being pressured to give in to the culture of the Babylonians. And this is what happened. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. I bet it was pretty good. I bet he brought the bread too. And they were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Verse 8, but Daniel was determined not to defile. That word defile in the Hebrew means to pollute. Not because he was better than the king, but he wanted to stay true to his core values. He wanted to stay true to the convictions of being a Jewish boy, all right? You got to understand that. So he asked the chief of staff, this is bold to me, for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Verse 12, please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water, Daniel said. And at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see. Compare us. And then you make your decision after that. Verse 14, the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion. That's tremendous favor right there. Whenever you stand up for your core values and what you believe is true according to the word of God, you will find favor. Amen? He found favor. And the attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the kings. Please hear this. Look at the heart of Daniel here. He decided it was better to be different in front of his peers and men than to be dishonorable to his God. He made a decision. I am not going to defile myself with the things of the king's table. I am going to honor God before I honor man. Oh, if we could ever get that in our lives. That is a game changer. I'm going to honor God all day long before I honor man, before I give in to the pressures of culture and how they say I should live or what they say is right. God, what does your word say? I want to honor you all day long. Romans 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul was talking about conforming, giving in to the culture of the day. He said this, do not conform to the patterns of this world, the cultures of this world. But be transformed in your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's going to take some self-discipline. Here's the first piece to developing a very strong infrastructure is developing and asking God to help you with self-discipline. It's self-control. Here's a way you can say it. I like this way better. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself, all right? You ever said that to your son or your daughter? Or, hey, you better check that attitude before you wreck yourself, boy. You better check yourself. I guarantee you, y'all won't remember anything else but me doing that, all right? You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's some good preaching right there, all right? That's the PC version. You better check yourself. Self-discipline, self-control. My father was a stickler for self-discipline. I could come home with D's. I would still get punished and spanked, but if I got anything less than an A in self-discipline, I was in deep trouble. I would love for them to grade that out now. We don't grade ourselves on self-discipline anymore. Math, science, music, PE, self-discipline. And my dad knew if I scored an A on self-discipline, it would make everything else up. Because I can know math, I can know English, and I can know science and make straight A's. But if I don't have the self-discipline, then that ain't going to do me any good. It's self-discipline. It's self-control. I remember learning self-control. I mean, there were times where my father would come into my bedroom, and I would have a coat hanger on my floor. And he would say, nope, your room's not finished clean yet. Look at it. It's spotless. Nope, coat hanger on the ground. One time he dropped me off at the mall, and I know this is crazy, but we would get dropped off at the mall on Saturdays. This is what you did as a teenager. We went to the Mall of Cartana. Yes, sir. And he gave me some money that day, and the objective with that money was to buy a certain pair of tennis shoes. I needed some new kicks, and he said, all right, I'm going to trust you. I was probably about fourth or fifth grade, you know, and I took that money, and you would have thought you gave me $2,000 as a fourth grader. So I had some friends with me, and there was one of them by the name of Jeff. And Jeff was the one that would always pressure me to do things that I knew wasn't right. He was the one that got me in trouble. And he introduced me to this place in the mall called Hobby Town. And you'd walk in there, and there was models, and there was rockets, and all these great things you could build. And he began to sell me on the idea of building a model boat out of balsa wood. And Jeff was the kind of guy that could do that stuff. I mean, he could whip it up and like a mad scientist and have stuff that would float and, you know, like small powered engine he made out of aluminum foil, just crazy stuff, you know. And he convinced me that we could build it. Like, yeah, we could do it. So I decided that day, instead of buying tennis shoes, I bought all the ingredients and all the material to build that boat. Mm-hmm. Dad picks us up. Where's your shoes, son? Oh, Dad, you're not going to believe this. All the shoe stores were shut down today. It's the craziest thing. Really, yeah? Lie number one, yeah. I couldn't find the right shoes, and I didn't have enough money. Oh, really? Yeah. But, Dad, I got some good news. I bought the balsa wood, and me and Jeff are going to make me a boat with a little engine, and it pushes it. Really? Okay. Just wait till we get home. I knew I was in trouble. And my dad didn't raise no snowflake here, all right? I mean, he believed in corporal punishment, all right? He wasn't no helicopter dad. Because he knew I had to learn self-discipline, and I was out of control. So we pull up to drop Jeff off. He's my last saving grace. I'm like, no, Jeff, don't go. No, stay. I love you, Jeff. He rolls the window down. He says, Jeff, come here. Jeff comes over. He gives the bag of balsa wood, my future boat, to Jeff and says, have a good time. It's your boat now. I knew I was in trouble. Like, man, that's bad right there. You gave my boat away, Dad. I can't believe it. He beat me that day. I couldn't walk for a week. I'm kidding, all right? It was only 2 days, but it wasn't that bad. He was teaching me self-discipline, and I learned it. I did. That helped me so much, so many more times. And I'm always asking myself the question, where do I need to show some control? That's a good question that you need to ask yourself. Where is it in my life I need to show some restraint, where I need to check myself before I really wreck myself? Where is it? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, to win the contest, to be the best in my life, you must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. Man, what an amazing application there. To deny yourself. Now, it's not saying you deny yourself everything, because I know a lot of people don't serve God because that's what they think. Oh, Christianity is about all the things you give up. You got to give up this. You got to give up that. You got to give up this. And when someone says that, I always ask them, well, how's that going for you? You know, and they can't answer that question. But what it is saying is at least deny the things that will stop you from being your best you. And you know what I'm talking about. There's certain things that I have to deny that maybe you don't have to deny. And I can't judge myself based upon the things that you deny. That's not fair. But there's things in my life that I have to deny that will keep me from being the best father, the best husband, the best pastor. And I want my best life. So I've got to show some self-control, some self-discipline. And I love the story here. Daniel, he was good at winning these small little battles, because one day he was going to face a really, really big battle. And if it had not been for all those small battles, I don't know how he would have done that day. Daniel chapter 6, here's a little backstory. Nebuchadnezzar dies. Old Nebi, he breathed his last breath. Don't know if he gave his heart to God. I don't know. Then here comes King Darius. He's now the king of the Babylonian nation. And King Darius liked Daniel. He loved his integrity. He loved his character. He loved that he wouldn't steal from him. So he said, all right, Daniel, I want you to keep running and doing everything that you do. Well, there were some jealous men there. And they were jealous, I don't think because of, they were jealous of Daniel's position. I think they were jealous because of who he was serving, tell you the truth. And there's always gonna be people jealous whenever you stand up for godliness. It may not come out like that, but they decided, let's go to King Darius. So they go to King and say, listen, you're the man. You're the king. Yeah, and they worked up his pride. They said, all right, let's make a law that no one can worship any other god but you. You're a god, King Darius. That's right, I'm a god. So he puts this law and decree, and they knew it was going to trap Daniel because they knew that he was a man of character and that he prayed 3 times a day. They were trying to trap him, and they did. It says in verse 10 in Daniel chapter 6, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Honestly, I probably would have shut the windows, all right? Okay, but not Daniel. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So the law didn't change his mind or his core value. I got on my knees yesterday, and I'm going to get on my knees today. It doesn't matter what they tell me to do. It's all about what I believe is the right thing to do. Then the men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So here's the second piece to strong infrastructure, and that's integrity. Integrity. You want to develop character? Start with some self-discipline. Get someone else to help you on that, and then begin to develop integrity. Integrity is how true you live to your convictions and beliefs when it may cost you something. That's exactly what Daniel did. He lived according to his convictions, even though it meant his life would be in jeopardy. Here's how I like to say it. It's a very simple way to say it. Just do the right thing. Put that into your parental arsenal. Every day when your kids are leaving or you drop them off at school, say this: hey, do the right thing today. Do the right thing. Remember, when you want to cheat and take a shortcut and go the easy route, make sure you do the right thing, all right? Do the right thing. When it may not profit you today, do the right thing. When you may not get the recognition that you need or want, do the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. I have found if I constantly do the right thing over and over again, I may not see the fruits of that in the short term, but if we do the right thing over and over and over again, eventually in the long term, it will pan out for us. Scripture says this, the righteous, Proverbs 13, verse 6, it's the righteousness that guards the person of integrity. And because Daniel did the right thing, the story unfolds that he was thrown into the lion's den. He knew the consequences of breaking that law. He wasn't going to be pressured on the outside, because the pressure on the inside to serve God was much bigger than the pressure that the jealous men were putting on him. And his heavenly Father made that lion not be hungry that night, or lions. His God came through. The righteousness of his heavenly Father protected him. And if he did it for Daniel, he'll do it for you and me today. And if there's ever a time, I believe we need to, as Christ's followers, stand up with character and not be pressured by the outside world, not because we're better, but because I want to live my best life. It's now. We have to have self-discipline, show some control. We've got to walk in integrity. And here's the beautiful thing about this. God will meet you where you are. Wherever you are right now, it's never too late to start doing the right thing. Now, you can't put toothpaste back into the tube, but the Holy Spirit can help you start doing the right thing today and redeem everything that may be broken in your life. Amen. We're going to do the right thing. Here at Key Point Church, we're going to do the right thing. As for me and my house, I'm going to do the right thing. And when I make a mistake and don't do the right thing, I'm going to repent and I'm going to get back up. And like the Bible says, the righteous one, he may fall, but he gets back up. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to make sure I do the right thing more than I do the wrong thing. Amen. And I'm going to see it pay off. In fact, the life that I'm living today is based upon the choices that I made yesterday to do the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing today. Will you do the right thing? I heard a message many, many years ago, and I'll close with this. And the premise of the message was, if the pressure on the inside of you is greater than the pressure that you're receiving from the outside, then you're going to make it. But if the pressure that you're getting from the outside is bigger than the God pressure that's on the inside of you, then you're not going to make it. So the goal is to make sure you have more God in you, more Jesus in you than pressure in this world. And listen to me, if you have God inside of you, there's nothing that you can't face in this world that won't make you collapse. Amen. It's Jesus living in you. Amen. That salvation, that spiritual maturity, maybe this morning you need to invite Jesus into your heart. And the pressure is massive on the outside, and it's causing you to collapse. Maybe you need to start with Jesus. Maybe it's a certain area in your life where you need some self-discipline. Well, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as we close. Here at Key Point Church, we respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. So I ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying? Is it salvation? What is it? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And I believe there's at least 15 to 20 people in this service that would say, Pastor Casey, I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I need him to be the king in my heart. I need that pressure. I need that God pressure like Daniel had on the inside of him. That holiness on the inside of me. I need it. I'm far from God, and today I want to come close to him because of what Jesus did for me. See, that's salvation, friends. That's not joining a church. That's making him your number one. So let's do this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want us to pray this prayer out loud. Out loud with me, everyone say this prayer. Say, Jesus Christ. Come on, say, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your righteousness. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I repent of my sins. Thank you for saving me. I confess you as my Lord, and I confess you as my Savior. Thank you. I want to say thank you for saving me. Keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. What that was right there was a very simple salvation prayer. And if you prayed that prayer, and you know who I'm talking to, and you just got saved. But I want you to do one more thing for me. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. See, that is an outward connection of what took place on the inside. And here at Key Point Church, we give you those opportunities to respond. You just prayed. Now I'm going to ask you to connect that to an action. I'm not going to make you get out of your seats, but right there where you're sitting, here at Key Point Church, we raise our hand. I prayed that prayer, and I believe God is coming. Has come in my life. I repented of my sin. I'm making him number one. I got saved. Come on, raise your hand around the room. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Come on, raise your hands. Wow, thank you. Thank you. Wow. Come on, five more seconds before we move on. Don't pass this moment up. I believe there's at least five more people that will say that. Come on, raise your hand. Any more? Yeah, thank you, ma'am. God sees your hand. It's never too late. It is never too late to allow Jesus to redeem your life. Anyone else before we move on? Okay. Now, maybe this message was for you. You need to develop some character, be it self-discipline or integrity in an area. And here's the beautiful thing about this. John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you can ask your Heavenly Father and he will give it to you generously. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to ask for self-control. And I'm going to get you to raise your hands. And I believe this is 100% in this room. We all have areas in our life where we need some control that gets the best of us. So around the room, just raise your hands. And when you raise your hands, you're saying, God, I'm asking you to give me self-control. Lord, there's areas in my life where I need to show some restraint, some discipline, some integrity. When I'm by myself, when I'm alone, Lord, I need some integrity in this area. Lord, I need to do the right thing in this area. Come on, right there. Just raise up your hands. And when you raise your hands, you're asking God to strengthen you, to give you the wisdom that you need to overcome this certain area of your life. Self-discipline, Lord. Thank you for character. Thank you for helping me develop character. I know it's my responsibility, and I thank you that you're going to assist me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.